97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
On the right-hand side, you probably saw the airplane kind of sort of coming at us. Nobody told us about it.
Sorry about the aggressive maneuver. It caught me by surprise. This is not normal at all. I don't know why they didn't give us a heads up, because the Air Force base does have radar. Long story short, it was not fun, but I do apologize for it, and thank you for understanding. It was not a fun day at work.
All right, that was the announcement the pilot made to the souls on Jet Flight 3788. Joining us now is retired from the U.S. Air Force, Lieutenant Colonel Alan Bullitt Campbell. Thank you so much for joining us here today.
My pleasure.
Well, you're an airline or airplane captain, and you worked for many different years. At the very end, you heard the pilot say, "This is not normal." We've seen a lot of these reported as of late. Would you agree this is not normal?
Well, it's absolutely not normal. But I have flown into airports like that. I hate to say out in the middle of nowhere, but my not North Dakota is way up in the north central part. So there's just not a lot of traffic. And so everybody's kind of relaxed and whatnot. And this thing was just absolutely bad timing. It couldn't have been worse.
Okay, so you were a pilot with Delta Airlines 37 years. You're the author of My Life Above the Clouds. So how often do bad timings happen? Because it just seems like the frequency continues to increase the last year.
I know it seems like that, but in my career, it was so seldom. You know, I flew into these airports. They're unusual because they're what they call VFR, visual flight rules. And so the pilot goes in and lands. There is air traffic control, but it's only on the radio. There's not radar. They're not clearing you. They're not giving you 2 mile separations and that sort of thing. So they cleared the Delta airplane in, and he's got to be VFR. He's got to be flying visually. They cleared the B-52 to do the flyby. He's also got to be VFR and visual. And the timing was just unbelievable that they got that close together. They should have not even been in the same airspace. But that's just one of those unlucky things. And thank goodness the Delta pilot was visual. He saw it, and he turned and avoided.
Yeah. So when it comes to the air traffic controllers, the Air Force has come out and they said, they're to blame, the air traffic controllers. Does the Air Force and the B-52 bomber, do they have some responsibility here too?
You know, this is my opinion, of course, but I don't think so. I think the B-52 did everything. They had to, you know, they're talking to their people up there at Minot Air Base, but then they switched them over to the VHF frequency there at the Minot Airport. And so they're talking to the controllers, but the controllers don't have radar. So they cleared them to do their flyby, completely visual. And then the Delta airplane did the same thing, checked in with tower, got cleared to land, but still completely visual. And that they got that close together was just a one in a million situation. The controller really could not have controlled it. He could have mentioned it to Delta. He could have said, you know, look for a B-52 bomber. And if you see one, maybe turn and avoid it or something. But he didn't mention that.
Mm-hmm. Take me into the cockpit for a second, because as a modern day pilot, I was under the impression that with the instruments and the computers and the autopilot, really, you only have to step in if something's going wrong once you're up flying in the air. And then you're just taking control during liftoff and then landing. Is that true?
Well, not in this circumstance. Usually in a commercial flight, you take off, you put it on autopilot. You have to be visual until you get above 18,000 feet. And then you just go totally instrument if you want to. This is okay. A totally different situation. They're down. They're at low altitude. There could have been light airplanes. Like I said, it's see and avoid. So everybody has to be looking. But I can put a different angle on the B-52, because if you think about it, they're doing a flyby over a sporting event. You remember the football games. You watch the NFL. Mm-hmm. They do the national anthem. And right at the last note, the airplane flies over the field. That mm-hmm. takes a lot of timing. That's not accidental.
Oh, interesting. Joining us is Lieutenant Colonel Alan Bullitt Campbell. He's retired, but U.S. Air Force. He was a airline captain with Delta Airlines 37 years. What was your first year working with Delta?
Well, it was like a gazillion years ago. I flew on the Boeing 727. And they didn't have any of this radar and control. Everything was pretty wide open. And, you know, over the years, it's just gotten way more complicated and way more under control. And I think that maybe affects these pilots because you're ready for tower to give you some instruction or a controller to tell you to go around. And so when you're completely VFR, that's 100% on you. That's a little bit different nowadays. And I think that might have gotten them a little bit in trouble.
So let's say the training that you first received versus what a new airline pilot may receive. Do you think that, you know, the kind of the way things used to be, you were more hands-on, you had to, I guess, pay more attention because you didn't have all the gadgets and the gizmos like you have today. Do you think that maybe that would have better trained you for instances like this to see this? And maybe some of the new pilots are just getting too comfortable with the technology and perhaps they are relying on it when maybe someone like you that started decades ago would have relied on your instincts and your eyes.
That's an excellent point. I was also an instructor. So when I went with the airline, I'd been an instructor in the Air Force. I'd been an instructor in civilian life. So I was used to being the man what's in charge. And so I wouldn't just be sitting there listening to instructions, looking at instruments. I'd be looking out the windows. I'd be looking for different things. I'd be aware. And I think that would have helped me. And I think that maybe affects some commercial pilots nowadays that don't have that kind of background. They get in the simulator, they're always on the instruments, they're flying IFR. So when they get in a visual situation like this, they're a little behind the power curve.
Yeah. Was there smoking on planes when you started flying?
Absolutely. And you close the door and have three pilots in a 727. It is horrible. I have some really bad memories of that. And when they stopped doing that, it made my day.
Oh, I know. Well, our producer, Fred, he worked with someone that smoked, and this is back when you can do that inside of a radio station back in the day. You can't do that anywhere anymore. I'm sure a lot of things have changed over the years based on where you were and where it is today. Have you ever had any, at least from your own experiences, close calls, the scary moments up in the air?
You know, not in the airline. I flew for Delta for 37 years. I never even had a flat tire. I'm probably one of the luckiest pilots on this planet when you hear about all these accidents. None of that ever happened to me. But I also think because of my background and my variety of military flying, civilian flying, and commercial flying, that I just had a different perspective. I was more aware, more alert. I wouldn't let the other pilot pull something on me like that situation that happened where the 787 engines quit. That would have never happened to me. I would not have allowed that. And so, you know, things, I don't know, I was very lucky to have that kind of perspective for the years that I flew, and it just made it much more beneficial and much safer.
The movie Airplane, was that good or bad for your industry as a pilot?
Oh, it was a hoot. You know, people don't take things like that serious. And the jokes, that you have to see that movie three times to get all the jokes. It was just incredibly well done.
You're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So many great moments in that. Well, you know, you have a book called My Life Above the Clouds. If people wanted to check it out, where can they go?
Just go to Amazon.com and type in My Life Above the Clouds. And I tell people I didn't write the book to make a lot of money. I wrote the book to tell people what I did and what they can do because I'm not special. But I just made some good choices, didn't do drugs, didn't get arrested, and just kept going for it. And it worked out beautifully for me. So I want parents to give this book to their kids and say, read this and give it some thought about what you want to be when you grow up. And it could make a huge difference in their life.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And if people wanted to look it up, is there a website or just go to like Barnes & Noble, Amazon, places like that?
Just Amazon.com. You know, Amazon's got a gazillion books, but if you go to Amazon.com and just type in My Life Above the Clouds, it'll pop right up.
Yep. Have you tried any of these modern simulators or VR goggles for flying?
No, I'm not into that. I used to be a simulator instructor, so that's one of those burnout experiences where, you know, been there, done that. It would be fun to do it. I would like to get in a simulator, you know, if I had some other people and I could just do some flying and maybe do some showing off or something. But I flew so many years and did so much flying that that's just, I don't know, hate to say it's boring, but I've kind of burned out on that.
Yeah, I guess if you're Tiger Woods and someone asks you if you want to go to the simulator, you're like, I've done enough of that in my career. I think I can give it a pass for today. Okay, well, my life. Oh, go ahead.
I did have one interesting experience. I took somebody up in the 727 in a simulator, and I landed in the grass beside the Atlanta airport. And, you know, you look at that and like, ah, we're going to die. But you can do that in a simulator. You can land on the interstate. You can land on the pond. So it's pretty cool to do that just to show off.
Yeah, I know. And there's the Microsoft simulators. And I think the first thing anyone does in St. Louis is they try to fly through the arch. You get in so much trouble, but you can't do those things. But people do that because they have the comfort of it being a video game and there's no repercussions. And then they, you know, dumb it down. But these simulators have been around forever. I mean, you can go back 40 years and probably find one for the old IBMs. But okay. Sure. My Life Above the Clouds. You can find the book on Amazon. Alan Bullitt Campbell, retired now, but was in the U.S. Air Force and was an airplane captain with Delta Airlines for 37 years. Thank you for joining us and talking about your experiences and breaking down what's going on here.
Thanks, Ryan. That was a pleasure.
I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.